Welcome to Leading Lights. You are about to hear a message from Lighthouse Church.
Hello there. Following Easter, where we've looked at Jesus's death and resurrection, often we just move on and think about other things. But there was a very interesting period of 40 days after Jesus rose again, before he went back up to heaven for good. And then there was a further 10 days where there was neither Jesus nor the Holy Spirit in full-time residence on earth. And then Pentecost happened. And I want to look today at those 40 days between when Jesus rose again on that first Easter Sunday morning. You remember the story? Early in the morning, the women go there to the tomb to dress the body and put spices on it. And the stone has been rolled away. They're frightened. They don't know what's going on. Angels appear. Mary Magdalene runs off and tells Peter and John. The other ladies stay behind. Then Mary sees Jesus on her own. Then the other ladies see Jesus. And then later that day, Peter sees Jesus. And then two men on the road to Emmaus see Jesus. And then that evening, a whole group of them in the upper room see Jesus. In that first day, many people saw Jesus. There was Mary Magdalene. Then there was the group of ladies. Then there was Peter. Then there were the two on the road to Emmaus. Then there was the full group of followers in the upper room, all on day one, kind of a busy day. The longest time that anyone spent with Jesus was the two on the road to Emmaus. They were walking to a town 7 miles away, and he walked with them the whole way and spoke to them, and then sat down and broke bread and had a communion meal, if you like, with them. So he spent the most time with two unknown people. One is called Clopas, the other one, we don't know his name, but he'd seen Mary Magdalene first. Then he saw the other group of ladies. Both of those, he told them to go and tell his disciples, and they ran and told the rest of the disciples. Then Peter at some stage saw him. We're not sure much about that meeting, but it was probably a very brief meeting. Then the long period of the road to Emmaus, the walking, the talking. Most of that time, the two men didn't realize Jesus was who he really is. And then their eyes were opened when he broke bread and prayed. And they suddenly realized. Then they ran back to Jerusalem, 7 miles. And they're in the room and they're telling the other followers. Luke 24 says it was the apostles or the disciples plus a group of others. So it was quite a big group in that upper room. And then suddenly, while the two from Emmaus are telling them that Jesus appeared, he appears again and he has a meal with them. He says, "Have you got any food?" They talk, he explains and opens the scriptures to them, and he spends time with them, and various things are said in that meeting. But then I want you to notice something which often we don't realize. You know, when I first heard that Jesus was around for 40 days after he rose again, I in my mind imagined that he was walking around with them just as he had been before he was crucified. He was talking with them, they were going and doing ministry, he was doing various things, and they had another 40 days with him. But he only appeared 11 times in that 40-day period. And many of those appearances, five of those 11 are on that first day. So in the 6 weeks after that first day, between the day he rose again and the day he went back up to heaven for good after 40 days, in those 6 weeks, there were very, very few appearances. Just another 6 appearances in that whole period of time, which is kind of on average 1 a week. And some of those were brief, some of them were longer, some of them were expected. So he'd warned them before he died. He says, he said, "After I rise again, I'm going to go and meet you at a place in Galilee." And then the angels, when the ladies went to the tomb, the angels said, "Tell the disciples to go to Galilee and meet him." Now, Galilee is 70 miles away from Jerusalem, so it's a long journey. It's where most of the disciples were from originally, but there was a lot of travel involved. I don't know if you'd realize this. But he said to them, "Go to this place, the place that I've warned you about, the place that the angels have warned you about, the place you're supposed to go." It was a pre-arranged meeting place and meeting time. And Jesus said to them, go and meet me there. And so they went down after a few Jerusalem meetings, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after Jesus rose again, they went down to Galilee. While they were there in Galilee waiting for this big mountain meeting, mountaintop experience, 1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared to over 500 people at one time. And that was probably that mountain time in Galilee. But while they were waiting for that meeting, they're in Galilee, where they all came from, where they used to do their fishing business. And Peter, who's only seen Jesus three times so far, and brief meetings, one of them, the first time he was on his own with Jesus, and we think it was a brief meeting because nothing is said about what happened in that meeting. And it was on that first busy day when he was meeting lots of people. The first meeting, Jesus met with Peter, and we're not sure what was said. The second time was in the upper room with lots of people around. The third time was again 8 days later in the upper room with lots of people around. And then the fourth time was when Peter had gone back to fishing. So they're waiting in Galilee now. They're about to have this big mountain meeting where 500 other people are going to be there, and they're waiting. And Peter is so despondent, confused. He knows Jesus has risen again, but he says, I'm going back to fishing. They're waiting in Galilee. You know, can you imagine? I'm going to put some of my own imaginations into this, and I encourage you to do the same. God gave us the ability to think and imagine and picture ourselves in the scene. Imagine Peter especially. You know, he's denied Jesus just before Jesus was crucified. Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, no, even if everyone else denies you, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And Jesus said, you will. And he did. He denied Jesus 3 times. He was so crestfallen. He was so guilt-ridden that he was just beating himself up. And then Jesus rises again and he thinks, wow, this is amazing. Miracles are possible. Jesus is the Lord as he said he was. All things are amazing. But then there's weeks go by, 2, 3, 4 weeks, and we've only seen Jesus a few times, and he hasn't had a proper conversation with me. This is me imagining Peter's thoughts. And now he sends us down to Galilee, and we're sitting around here waiting, and nothing's happening. What's going on? And Peter says, I'm going back to fishing. And there is a sense in that Peter was still beating himself up. He was still very unhappy with the way that he had performed and how he hadn't kept his word. And he'd said to Jesus, I love you more than all of these. And yet he had denied him. And in that waiting period, they're fishing. There's 7 of them, Peter and 6 others. They're out on the boat all night. They're struggling to fish. And suddenly they see a man on the shore. John says to Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter grabs his cloak and jumps in and starts swimming to the shore. He must see Jesus. Jesus has not been revealing himself over these period of weeks like Peter thought he would, like he expected should happen. And he's longing to have a proper conversation. Jesus says, come, let's have some food. He makes some breakfast. They eat together around the campfire. And then Peter walks off with Jesus, and John is following close behind, listening. And Peter has a conversation with Jesus where Jesus says, do you really love me more than these? You said you did. Do you really? And Peter replies, Lord, he uses a different word for love. Jesus says, do you agape me, which is the laying down your life, God kind of love. Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you the best I can, phileo love. And Jesus asks him 3 times, and each time he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He's saying to Peter, it's okay, you're forgiven. I know you're weak, but look, I love you, and I'm reinstating you as my follower. You don't have to fish for fish anymore. You can still be a fisher of human beings, a fisher of men. Isn't that amazing? Then they have this big meeting on the mountain at the end of Matthew 28, which we use often when we talk about the Great Commission, where he says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nationalities, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's on a mountain in Galilee, 70 miles away from Jerusalem, and probably three, four, 5 weeks after he's risen again, and they've only seen him a handful of times. Peter's only seen him a few times, the disciples only a few times. Some of them, you know, this is like the first time. The 500 gathered, many of them, they knew about this meeting because Jesus had been preparing them for it. He'd warned them before he died. Then there was message after message. The angels say it's going to happen. They say to the ladies, go and tell everyone to go down to Galilee and meet him. Everyone travels the 70 miles. Big meeting. Jesus gives the Great Commission. And then he says that you need to go back to Jerusalem because there's going to be another meeting on the Mount of Olives, another prearranged meeting, another meeting on a mountain. And this is the last meeting before Jesus is taken up. You know, in all the other meetings, whenever he met with someone, it's implied that he just disappeared into thin air at the end of the meeting. He just wasn't there anymore. But at the very last meeting on the Mount of Olives, he speaks to them. He speaks some words to them. Let me just read it to you. Verse 4 of Acts 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then it says, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, from the Mount of Olives. So this was the last meeting. So I just wanted to give you a bit of an overview. Sometimes we focus on one part of it. Sometimes we just fill in the blanks ourselves from our own thoughts. But it's good to realize a couple of things. Number one, Jesus only appeared a handful of times. He has risen again. He is the risen Lord who's conquered death. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on Pentecost 7 or 8 weeks later, 50 days later. But for 40 days, he is still here, but he only appears a handful of times. The disciples only see him 6 times in 6 weeks. He only appears 11 times in the whole of those 6 weeks, and 5 of those are on the first day. Isn't that amazing? So I'm going to make some points from this story, but first let me just quickly go through and recap for you the 11 times that Jesus appears. So number one, he meets Mary Magdalene on her own, a woman. First meeting, first person, Mary. Remember, she thought he was a gardener. He said her name, Mary, and suddenly she recognized him and she wanted to grab his feet and worship him. He said, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go and tell the others. Then the ladies who came with Mary are also there, and he appears to them. His first word to them is rejoice. And then he says, go and tell my disciples. They touch him and worship him like he's God, and they can touch him. He allows that, which means between the first meeting of Mary and the second meeting with the ladies, he's already ascended to heaven. In those 6 weeks, he wasn't just walking around earth for a whole 6 weeks. He was able to go backwards and forwards between heaven and earth. And after meeting Mary, before he met the ladies, he has ascended to the Father. He has done whatever needed to be done, probably putting his blood on the altar in heaven. That is the mercy seat. That, you know, the Bible says there's a copy of the temple in heaven, and Jesus put his blood there. Then the third meeting is Peter. We're told that he met Simon. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul lists the people Jesus saw. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8. Paul lists them and he says he met Peter. And Luke says that when the two on the road to Emmaus were walking, they said, and he has met Simon. But the interesting thing is that we don't know what he said. So Mary, then the ladies, then Peter, then the men on the road to Emmaus, the most beautiful story. The thing I love about this story is they are unknown people. They are not part of the 12 apostles, the disciples. They are not named great leaders. They are not important people. Jesus spends the longest time with obscure people, and he just chats with them and he eats with them and he's explaining. And the Bible says he opened the whole of the Old Testament scriptures to them and he discussed with them. A long meeting with the two on the road to Emmaus. You might think, gee, I'm not a great apostle. Will Jesus meet me? You may be a lady. You may say, I'm not a man. Will Jesus meet me? The first two groups were women, and they were given the job to go and tell others. And then the longest time was with the two on the road to Emmaus, and they were obscure people. Then in the evening, the men from Emmaus run back to Jerusalem. They're speaking to the people. And it says, so they rose up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered there. So there were many people in that room. Those who were there said, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. They were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. But he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? You know, most of the meetings, which were extended periods of time, were around food. In Emmaus, they had food. Here in this meeting, they had food. When Jesus meets the disciples on the side of the lake in Galilee, the seven who were fishing, they have food together. Food was a big part of it, and it was a way that facilitated fellowship. And it says he explained to them about the Old Testament scriptures about himself, and that it was necessary for him to die and to rise, and then he gave them the Great Commission. So on that very first night, when he's gathered with them, he gives them the Great Commission. You know, we sometimes think the Great Commission was only given once, but it was given at every opportunity and at every time Jesus met with groups of people. So here, on the very first night, the disciples are gathered. They've heard that Peter's seen Jesus. They've heard the ladies, Mary and the other ladies, say, we've seen Jesus. They've heard the men from Emmaus say this. They're wondering what's going on. There's quite a large group of them. And he says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So on that first night, he tells them they're going to have to go out. But then he says, I give you now a portion of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, but wait in Jerusalem until you've received the full power of the Holy Spirit. Now, John gives his own version or his own description of this exact same meeting. And it says, that same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The Great Commission. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He gave them a portion of the Holy Spirit. But Luke tells us, he said, but wait in Jerusalem for the full power. So that's the first day. Then 8 days later, you see, Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't there on that first day. And in John 20, 24, it says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. He said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was a science man. He said, I have to see it and touch it. And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, again in that same room, 8 days. So there's been nothing, no sightings of Jesus for over a week. Confusion. Why isn't he coming? What's going on? Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. And he told Thomas to touch him and to realize it was him. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And now this is the key to why, one of the reasons I believe Jesus only showed himself a little bit. You know, we sometimes think that we're already in heaven, that we're going to be able to see Jesus whenever we want, hear his voice all the time. There's going to be an open line of communication, but we're living in a period of faith. Yes, it is a period of grace where God gives kindness and doesn't judge, but it's also a period of faith where we don't see fully. 1 Corinthians 13 says we see as if in a mirror darkly or dimly. We know in part, we prophesy in part. One day we will see face to face. And Jesus was trying to train them that you've just got to trust that I'm with you. You've just got to trust what I told you. You've just got to walk the road and believe you're walking in my way. Psalm 32, he says, I will guide you with my eye, not with my voice. In other words, I'm watching over you and you're watching where I'm looking and you're walking the way that you know I want you to go without me telling you. Isaiah 30 says, you will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, only when you turn to the right or to the left, which every time it says right or left, it means you go off the wrong, to the wrong way. So it says, you'll hear a voice if you're going wrong. And he was trying to train them, trust I'm with you. Don't need me and expect me every single minute of the day. Isn't that a revelation? Maybe it's a balancing truth for you. Maybe you've been told that you can expect all these things we're going to see in heaven all the time here on earth. No, no, there is part of heaven on earth now. Yes, we're seeing God's kingdom come. His will be done on earth as in heaven, but it's not fully here yet. This 8 days later meeting. So first day, five meetings. Then 8 days later, when Thomas is there, there's another meeting. And remember I said every time he met with a group, he told them the Great Commission. He tells it again this time. In Mark 16, he gives this account of that 8 days later meeting. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief, their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So that's him telling Thomas, you should have believed without seeing. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The Great Commission. First day, 8 days later, then a gap, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. They've got to travel all the way down to Galilee, the seven on the shore of the lake. Peter is reinstated by Jesus and given a commission to feed my lambs, again, part of the Great Commission. And then we see the last time, just before his final occasion, was the big mountain meeting, the crowd on the mountain in Galilee. And it says, when they saw him, verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. He told them about this meeting. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. The Great Commission. And it's not just to the 11 apostles. I believe it's to 500 people. And he's telling them to teach others to obey everything that he's told them to do. In other words, keep replicating yourself. Whatever you have received from me, make others the same. Teach them to be Great Commission Christians as well and to go and teach others. And then it says that he met with James, his brother. We don't know when that happened, but it happened after this. He met with all the apostles, which I believe means more than the 12, because he calls the others the 12 or the 11, but this is all the apostles. We don't know exactly when that happened. And then he met with his followers when he was on the Mount of Olives, and he promised them, just soon you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there was a 10-day period when they didn't know what was going on. They were praying and waiting, and then the Holy Spirit came. Friends, there's some lovely truths in here, but I just want to encourage you. Jesus met in pre-arranged meetings with large crowds. Go to pre-arranged meetings. He also met people unexpectedly when they were walking along a road, when they were searching for him in a garden, when they were talking about him, when they were fishing. Jesus met. Be ready for Jesus at any time, at all times. Jesus met with men and women. Jesus met with the important ones and the unknown ones. Be ready for his meetings. But most importantly, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. Again and again, throughout all of these verses, he repeats the Great Commission. At the last meeting in Acts chapter 1, he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Go, 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 the Great Commission. Father, I thank you for this 40-day period and for what it teaches us. Please help us to walk by faith and not to rely on feelings or sight or evidence, and to obey what you've given us to do. We love you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Please visit leadinglightsnetwork.com and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Please consider supporting this ministry by making a donation on the giving page at leadinglightsnetwork.com or lighthousejersey.com.